Hello, welcome to Igbo Queer and Unfiltered. My name is Charles Okeke. How are you? Hope you've had a wonderful day. I was thinking of so many things this week, and so many of them is based on some of the things I have experienced over time and how our people, when I mean our people, I mean Black people in the diaspora, Black people everywhere, how they love you, but they love you privately, but deny you publicly. And you will have people who will say they support you. They speak to you in private. They will say, oh, we support you. We do all of these things. Then when they are somewhere where people are condemning you and where people are speaking crazy to you, they will just remain quiet. There's something that happened one time. This was the time where this person did not know that I'm a gay person, and something really, really happened that was extremely homophobic. And this individual was there. He told me this, was there. He didn't do anything, never said anything, was quiet, never, nada. Then when all the disgrace and every insult and the humiliation happened, he now came to him and said, oh, you know, I support you. I care for you. I love you. I will always be there for you. But you never, ever said anything. And when this story was told, I said to the individual, do you still speak to this person? They said, no, absolutely not. I always have a massive problem with people when they claim they support you. Then when push comes to shove, they will not be there. That is so performative. It's crazy. This is something that is very, very clear to me. But I rarely talk about it. A lot of people are going to advise you based on what they believe in, based on what they know, based on their limitations, based on their religion, and so many things. If someone is advising you, for instance, you are an ambitious person, you want to succeed for yourself, you want to do amazing things, and someone is there continuing telling you that maybe you should do it like this, maybe it wouldn't work, blah, blah, blah. Those are not the types of people you want to listen to. I have said this so many times, and it comes even with the way some gay people, we treat us queer people as well. You will see a lot of gay people. This has happened to me so many times, who have told me, why are you posting and saying that you are an Igbo gay man? Why are you posting on social media? Why are you referencing your sexuality? Because it stems from a lot of us being told that being a gay person openly is something really, really bad. Do not ask, do not tell, don't question, don't speak about it. And a lot of gay men have internalized this, especially gay men who are a lot older. And it is crazy to me. The number of times I have seen people say things like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And then I look at them and I'll be like, you are advising me from a place of conservatism. You are advising me from a place of internalized homophobia. You are advising me from a place of you not being comfortable with yourself because society told you that it is wrong to be gay. And there is nothing wrong with if someone is thinking like this and they are able to realize that they are messing up big time. But a lot of the times, these people don't realize this. And I'm saying all this to say that if someone is advising you, if it's someone that is extremely religious, and they're advising you based on your homophobia, of course, they will tell you not to be gay. If someone is not ambitious and they don't have the drive and the passion to achieve things, to continue to fight, move. When they advise you, they will advise you based on their limitations and based on how they feel and what they think. And this applies to so many things. But the thing is that there are people who will advise you based on what you want for yourself. They don't insert themselves into what they are telling you. They are telling you based on what you gave to them, how it will work for you. Those are the types of people you need to listen to. People who will advise you with no judgment, with no prejudice, with no control, with no manipulation, who will advise you honestly and want you to succeed. The number of times people have spoken to me about things in my life where I look at them, I'm like, I don't need advice from you. And this is absolutely important for you not to be taking advice and suggestions from so many people, because some people don't mean well, because they know that this hasn't worked for them. Because something did not work for you doesn't mean it won't work for somebody else. I have experienced so many things since I started posting on social media and some of these crusty, dusty, good-for-nothing people discovered me, I have noticed so many things based on the things people who don't even know me personally said to me. Because of they have fear of so many things, even gay people that I don't know, they will be like, oh, maybe if you don't say this, it will be easier for you, yada, yada, yada. There are people who have fought all over the world for LGBTQIA plus individuals to have some of the rights we have today. So if they have been quiet, if they weren't speaking, what do you think will happen? I am sick and tired of some of these people who are talking to you because of they are coming from a place of fear. They are not bold enough and confident enough to do certain things for themselves. And some of these gay men, actually, I'm going to talk about some of these gay men who are trying to perform straightness. They are trying to perform to be straight. It is a performance because you are a homosexual and you are not straight. Straight is a performance. If you are heterosexual, you are attracted to a woman. You can dress however you want to dress. How you dress and what you do doesn't make you a homosexual. Some of you are out here performing. I know I went on a tangent in this last part, but it just needs to be said. I have rejected and I refuse to be anybody's secret. I remember when I first came out, I spoke to somebody that was related to me. And this person said to me, maybe you should not tell anybody. Maybe you should be quiet about it. I don't want other people to know about it. Just be gay and not speak about it. And I said to them, why? Because the problem here is that some of our people who are related to us, especially, don't always think about what we feel about us and things like this. They are only worried about the shame it's going to bring to them, the discomfort, the waywardness and things like this, because they don't want to be in a place where people are saying, your relative is gay, he's sleeping with men, men are doing this with him. A lot of these people don't even think about you. If I tell you the number of times I have had these conversations with close friends of mine, where I have said that a lot of people who are related to me haven't really, really said to me, how are you? How are you doing mentally, emotionally, and otherwise? They have never, ever asked that. You know why? Because to them, I am a shame. I am a disgrace. But you know the thing is that I never, ever, ever, ever internalized any of this. The only problem I had was that when I was a lot younger and fairly recent, like maybe 12 years ago or 13 years ago, is that I was worried about not being accepted, rejection, and things like this. Those things happened, but I gained more. I gained massively. And one thing I have been consistent about is that my peace of mind is absolutely important. My peace of mind is one of my biggest wins as a gay man from Nigeria, as a gay Igbo man. That's my biggest win. And I refuse to be around people who will always give me conditional acceptance. And it's the same way where I said that I don't want to be tolerated. I don't want to be around you as a gay person if you are only going to tolerate me. If you're going to accept gay people, if you're going to are going to accept A plus individuals, you need to accept us fully and wholly. Complete. When you have conditional acceptance, some of these family members will say things like, we love you, but please do not say it in the public. Like I said earlier, please don't post anything about you being gay. Like somebody came to me and said to me that people in my village said to him, please never ever mention your actual village. And the thing is that I just did this out of respect for somebody, not because of the people in my village. Just for somebody that is related to me. That is the reason why I'm not saying the name of my village. Because I know how people are higgy and haga, how they will weaponize my sexuality towards this person. And I love them dearly. And I don't want that inconvenience for them. That is just the reason why. Aside from that, I don't care. I do not freaking care. So you hear things like, we accept you, but don't post it. Love your life and live your life quietly. That is how you are supposed to do it. That is not full acceptance. If someone is giving you conditional acceptance, that person is not supposed to be in your life. The individual, the family member that had these conversations with me, that said to me, oh, maybe I should keep it quiet. When I had conversations with them, they really, really understood straight away and they apologized sincerely. And they've never had any problems with me posting or talking that I'm a gay Igbo man from Njikoka local government area of Anambra State. They've never had any problems with that. They've never said anything negative towards me or about me or to anybody. Instead, they actually fight my corner on a constant basis. A lot of people who are related to you will want to manage your image. That's why when you speak and you act a particular way or you dress a particular way, they'll be like, why are you dressing like that? Don't do like that. That's not how a man dresses. Men don't act like this. Why are you acting like a woman? I need somebody to explain to me what a gay man looks like, because mannerisms is not the definition of someone's sexual orientation. And this is why some of our women fall into the trap of getting married to gay men who are on the down low. Homosexuality is not written on our foreheads. You need to have a great amount of gaydar to be able to detect who is gay. And some of you, because of your waywardness and the way you behave, you will not know that someone is gay when you are with them, because you are here doing higgy and haga. And is this idea that me being a gay person is tolerable as long as it doesn't disturb their reputation? It's crazy to me. And it is something that I have mentioned here already. I cannot stand you if I notice that you are tolerating my sexuality, because it can always be very, very clear when this happens. You can always tell when someone is uncomfortable with your sexual orientation. I have been around gay men who go to different kinds of gay saunas, who sleep with multiple men, who are promiscuous, who have sex literally almost on a daily basis. They do everything gay, more than a lot of gay people, but they will be freaking uncomfortable when someone is saying things that are gay or when gay people are there. They will even be homophobic towards gay people. It is wild to me when this happens, because I'm looking at them, I'll be like, what is wrong with you? Everybody clearly knows you are a gay man. I know it's so horrible for me to say, but one of these particular individuals is so gay. Is so gay that even a 90-year-old or 100-year-old grandmother will know that you are a homosexual and you're here trying to pretend. And this is something that I do not like. And when you are having people telling you that you should control how you behave, how you live your life, want to manage your image and all of these things, that is something that will create a massive problem within you, because you now exist, but only in spaces that is controlled. You are now controlling how you behave, how you act, your mannerisms, the spaces where you go to, and things like this. May I tell you, when something like this begins to happen and you fall into that trap, that is not freedom. I love my freedom. The freedom of being able to express myself, to speak my mind, to live my life, go to any gay pride if I want to go to any gay pride. And if anybody who is a friend, who is close to me, think that that is uncomfortable for them, then maybe you shouldn't be my friend. Maybe you shouldn't be a family. If you are a family member and you are so uncomfortable with who I am, maybe you shouldn't be in my life. And I said this in the last episode or the episode before this one, that it is okay to cut off some of your relatives permanently. And that doesn't make you a bad person. It is perfectly okay to create boundaries. That doesn't make you a wicked person. It is not cruel to do this, because a lot of the times we forget how to protect our mental health and preserve our energy. My goodness, a lot of us are always going through it without actually realizing, because we're trying to please people who claim to be our family members, who claim to be our relatives, our friends, and things like this. And we are suffering within. Why do you want to suffer? Why? Tell me why. Because it does not make any sense to me whatsoever. I don't know if I've mentioned this on this podcast, but one of the reasons why I came out was the mental torture I was going through, the kind of like slightly psychological damage I was having, like it was impacting my life. It was making me unhappy. I was really, really unhappy because I kept always running away from conversations. I kept running away from things. I stopped speaking to a lot of people. I got tired of being somebody that I'm not. I got tired of telling lies about girlfriends, about places I went. I shared this on one of the videos I posted long time ago about a very close friend of mine trying to get me to marry this doctor. And I kept evading the conversations. I got to a point where I said to myself, I will not be doing this to myself. This is not okay for me. Because I was not able to do certain things. When I go to certain places, because if I don't have a girlfriend and I don't want to lie, I will not feel as free. I cut off so many people because of this. It got to a point that I'm like, why should I be doing this to myself? There is no need whatsoever for me to be torturing myself mentally, emotionally, and otherwise. And I said, no, I am gay. I'm going to live my life unapologetically. And I started doing that. And I'm doing that today. And I will continue to do that. So living as someone's secret creates internal brokenness, fragmentation. So, which means when your family members don't want you to come out or don't want you to tell anybody that you are gay, you are literally living their secrets because now they know about you. They know about you, but they want you to keep it as a secret, and you are now keeping it as a secret. You don't want people to know, because if people know, you are bringing shame to the family. For example, one of the most common questions I get asked all the time is, are your family proud of you? What does your parents think of this? Why are you bringing shame to your family? And a lot of this will forget that homosexuality and queerness and all of the things is nothing to be shameful about. I solve a lot of family problems. I do a lot of things. I am who I am. I am an Igbo man. I am gay. I am every of the things, and none of them is going to be separated from each other. They are all me. Thinking that because of someone is gay that you are a disgrace to your family is so wild to me. And a lot of these people who say these things, when they say it, it comes from a place of what religion taught them. Because some of you claim that you know the Bible, but you don't really understand the Bible. So when you now fall into the trap of wanting to be other people's secret, that is a massive problem for you. Because what I'm not going to be is me telling you that I'm gay, you knowing that I'm a gay man, and you telling me that I shouldn't tell anyone because of my family is going to be shamed. My family is going to be insulted, disgraced. I shared this before, but I'm going to share this again. One time, I was on TikTok live stream. Some of my cousins from my family came on TikTok live. How they discovered my account, I do not know. They came on and was so disrespectful, saying all of the nonsense. I told my sister. My sister went and was fighting with them. Because in their head, they are saying, I'm useless, I'm this. I'm not trying to be funny. But these people that are saying to me that I'm useless for being gay, my dear, I'm not going to say a word. Read my mind. And that's what you see happen. And because of this, when you are told to keep things secret, you edit yourself at family gatherings. If you go to anything the family does, you will not be yourself. They may not even invite you. Or if they invite you as they do, you have to actually extremely, extremely censor yourself, the way you act and all of these things. You will start to hide whoever you are dating. If you have a partner, you will hide them. You won't post them. You won't talk about them. You won't come with them to your family. You won't even mention it to your family. You will start avoiding conversations that has to do with pronouns. Like, you won't want to say something like Mrs. or Mr. and things like this. And over time, that self-editing becomes your muscle memory. And your muscle memory becomes your identity confusion. You become confused like crazy. And what happens is, when you now become extremely confused, you begin to ask yourself so many questions. that you may never even ever be able to answer. You'll be like, am I too much? I have asked myself this question before. Am I too much? I actually asked a friend of mine this. He's a very close friend of mine. He's Igbo as well. There's another of my friend. He's Yoruba. He's my darling. Oh, my baby boy. I've asked him this before as well. Because you start to say to me, am I doing too much? These questions I'm talking about, I asked these questions like, say, 15 years ago. This was before I came on these social media platforms and all of these things. Those are the things they want you to do. And you will ask yourself, is my existence an inconvenience to my family? Is it inconvenient? Am I causing any trouble for existing? And this is where it is so sad. I remember having a conversation with someone I know. I'm going to share this story in such a way nobody will clock what I'm talking about. And we were deep into conversations and we're just going through what we've experienced as gay people, the horrors and the ups and downs and things like this. And in that conversation, we just got into a place where we said, if our parents hadn't have had us, if they did not give birth to us, maybe all of these things we are going through wouldn't have happened. All of these struggles and all of these insults and all of this horrible behavior that you receive from people, maybe it wouldn't happen. The reason why that came to our minds was because of certain things we've seen happen to people. My friend was like, nobody is going to want to be in a situation where their brothers, their sisters, their uncles, their fathers, everybody will literally hate them and don't want to be in their lives. Nobody will want that. And if we knew that we were going to be born gay and we have the choice, we will not choose that. And that was the conclusion we drew. And we said to ourselves, never, we are going to continue to live our lives, whether they like it or not. Secrecy teaches shame. Because when you start to live your life in secret and you want to keep it secret because people also told you that everything should be in secret, you begin to be shameful. I've shared this before. Remember the second time I went to a gay sauna, even the first time I went to a gay sauna in Manchester, I will get to the front door of basement sauna. I will look left and right. I will scout all the places. I will survey with my eyes and look and make sure nobody is looking at me before I go in. That is because if I was living in secrecy, I didn't want my brother to know that I did all of these things because my brother lives in the UK as well. I didn't want him to know all of these things. And that is a mental torture. I was in a mental prison. And that is something I said to myself that will never, ever, ever happen to me ever again. And I don't want that to happen to any of you either. Because what I'm saying this is that secrecy teaches shame, even when it is disguised as protection. So what they will say to you is that we are protecting you. Just keep the family legacy, keep it secret. We are a family. We don't want our family to be disgraced. You are not protecting me. You are protecting yourself. You haven't asked your child, how are you? How are you dealing with this mentally? One of my friends shared a story with me when he came out to his mother. What his mother was worried about was his safety. Because she said, the world is so cruel to people like you and I'm worried. Be careful. Be careful of what you do, where you go to, and things you do. That is a mother that cares about their child. And then she went ahead to say, how are you? Are you okay? Do you feel okay? That is a parent that loves their child and wants to support their child. Our culture, our reputation, you need to be silent. You need to be silent, silent, silent to protect our culture and our reputation. What is all of these things you're doing? Don't disgrace us. In many African communities, reputation is currency. Absolutely. Family honor matters. Public image matters. So what do? Parents sometimes think they are protecting themselves or even protecting you by keeping things quiet. There's something that happened recently, trigger warning, because it involved sexual abuse. Trigger warning for anybody that has experienced any of this. Something happened to his child in a particular school in Nigeria where this child was violated. And there you are, All of these adults were saying, oh, let's not talk about it. Let's not talk about it. Let's not say anything. Let's not mention this child's name because somebody may not marry her tomorrow. If they find out that this happens to her, if they find out that something like this happened to her, is everybody okay? A child, you are worried about a man that does not even exist. What are we doing here? It's the same thing about if something happens to you that they think is shameful, they want you to keep quiet because they think they are protecting themselves and then protecting you. And that's not on. That is horrible because silence doesn't protect anybody. It doesn't protect queer people. It doesn't protect you. It doesn't protect me. Being silent does not do that. You have to speak when it needs to be spoken. You need to always speak up. That is why I say that if you are in a bystander situation, for instance, and you see someone being maimed or attacked and you keep quiet, you are a part of the problem. You are part of the problem if you don't speak about it. You are. Silence doesn't protect us queer people. What silence does to us is that it isolates us. That's what it does to us. And isolation increases vulnerability. You cannot claim love while requiring invisibility. If you claim that you love me, if you claim that you love gay people, you love queer people, you love LGBTQIA+ individuals, seeing us visible, representing, living our lives should not be a problem. You should love us, whether we are loud about it, quiet about it, or doing any of those things. You should love us if we decide to do and do too much, according to some of you. Because if you are requiring for someone to make themselves small, bend themselves backwards for you to love them, ask them to strip everything that makes them who they are because it makes you uncomfortable for you to be able to love them, that is a massive problem. I think that a lot of you here, I don't know if you live in the UK, you need to go and watch It's a Scene on Channel 4. There's a Nigerian family there. And I loved how that story was told about that Nigerian family that had a queer son. Because some of our people are just wild. Love is totally different from control. A lot of people will say, oh, I love you, but don't do this, don't do that. Love says, I see you completely. I see you as you are. I see everything you do. I support you. I am not going to judge you. I may not understand this, but I am here. You can explain to me some of the things I don't know, and I am open to learning. I am open to listening. I am open for you to guide me through some of the things that I may not know. I will love you no matter what you are doing, what you decide. I will be here to support you. It says, I stand with you, I defend you, and all of the wonderful things. But you know what control says? I will accept you under my conditions. Did you hear that? I will accept you under my conditions. That difference matters. That is a massive difference. If your existence threatens someone's comfort, their social comfort, and every of the things that they do, that discomfort is theirs to process. It is for them to deal with. They should deal with it. It is not in your place to shrink because of that. You do not need to make yourself small because of their discomfort. That is why I say to some of these homophobic people that you need to start learning how to be comfortable being uncomfortable, because some of you are just wild. Because sometimes when you hear some of the reasonings behind people's homophobia and things like this, you'll be like, what the hell? What the hell? You are not making any sense at all. And what is really, really shocking is when you say to them, what informed your decision of saying that homosexuality is a sin, is horrible, yada, 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 and things like this, they'll be like, oh, the Bible condemns it. Where in the Bible? Where in the Bible? I have said this in so many versions. A lot of extremely fanatical religious people are not good people. They don't have morals, but they use their religion as a weapon to be wicked. They use it as a blanket to be mean to people. They'll say, oh, Jesus said it's bad. J- Jesus loves you. Come to Jesus. Repent. Jesus does not love what you do. Do you know the number of homophobic people who are so homophobic and then they end up going to go and sleep with gay men because they are gay men themselves? My dear, look internally, look within you and ask yourself questions. Why you are Higgy and Haga? I chose visibility. I chose representation. I chose truth. I am living in my truth. Unapologetically, with no apologies. Choosing visibility doesn't mean you are reckless. It doesn't mean you don't know what you are doing. It doesn't mean you are stupid. It means refusing to erase yourself internally. Erase yourself publicly. We are here because we refuse for anybody to erase us queer people. That is why I am here. LGBTQIA plus individuals are not going to be erased. We are going to continue to be here, whether they like it or not. The day I said to myself, I am going to be visible, I am going to live my life, and I want this to be the same for you, is the day I decided I will not pretend my life is not what it's supposed to be. I will not pretend that my life is not valid, that my life is not wonderful, that who I am is not amazing. I accept everything I am wonderfully. I don't broadcast everything. I don't say everything. I don't do as much as I would want, but I am trying. And the truth of the matter is that you don't have to do everything, but you can do something. And I am doing something. I am being myself, being visible, living my life unapologetically. Even if I'm not saying everything, I am not going to pretend and live my life like there is no joy. I don't have to live like joy is a contraband. I don't have to live like happiness is scarce. I don't have to live like my life is not worthwhile. You don't have to do that to yourself either. You have to continue to live your life every day like it's golden, because it is. You have to live your life every day because it's amazing. You may not be able to be visible like me and some other queer people, but you can be visible in your own kind of way. You can be visible within yourself, internally, in your room, in your flat, in your compound. That is still visibility. That is still you being at peace with yourself and loving who you are. Visibility is not about rebellion. It is about living your life and showing people that we exist. It is about showing that there are people like us in this world. There are different types of people, and LGBTQIA plus individuals are part of that. You know one thing I say to people sometimes? I've said this to one of my friends. Your private life and public presence don't have to contradict each other. They don't have to. What you see is what you get. I live my life the way I live my life. I chose not to pretend anymore. I chose not to live a lie anymore. I chose to live my life the way I am living my life today. And that is how it's going to be. The people who are not supposed to be here are no longer here. And I'm fine with that. I have cut off some people permanently. Some of them blocked me themselves. And that is their problem. The way people treat you doesn't have anything to do with you. It has everything to do with them. One of my friends has this problem where he said to me that he doesn't know if he's afraid of being seen. That he doesn't know. And I've never really asked myself that. I don't even know. I've never asked myself that question, if I'm afraid of being seen. But one thing I know is that I am confident in who I am and I'm happy with who I am. So maybe I'm not afraid of being seen. Being visible can feel dangerous, especially in environments where homophobia is normalized. If you live in somewhere like Ghana, for instance, or Nigeria, or Burkina Faso, or one of these African countries where anti-LGBTQIA laws are rife, where people are literally going to report you to the government for being gay and then you are arrested or people are going to attack you. Being visible can be dangerous for you in environments like that. So that's not something that is advisable to do. You can be visible in the way I explained previously, by being at peace with yourself, knowing who you are, accepting yourself, validating yourself, and trying as much as possible not to seek permission from anybody. You don't have to speak it loudly. You don't have to be on social media announcing to anybody like me and living your life like this, but you can be okay with who you are and be at peace with yourself. So in situations like that, when you live in an environment like Ghana, like Nigeria, like Burkina Faso, and some African countries, visibility must be strategic because safety matters. As I was explaining earlier, internal visibility, fully accepting yourself, is something that is non-negotiable. I am going to make this clear. You have to have your internal visibility. Fully accepting yourself and being at peace with yourself is something that is non-negotiable. Because I feel like some of us queer people have not really, really fully accepted ourselves. Yesterday evening, I was on TikTok live stream and this young man came on and was speaking to me. He said that a reverend father at a church in Nigeria told him, when he told the reverend father that he's gay, the reverend father said, you should live your life. He was really, really surprised that the reverend told him that. And I said, he's someone that doesn't judge anybody, that understands that you are this way and you should live your life. But based on everything this individual said throughout when they were on the live stream, points to a place where I understood that they haven't really, really accepted themselves internally. They haven't accepted themselves fully. So they are lacking that internal visibility and representation. And I said to them, you need to do something about it. Because he kept saying that I'm a sinner. And I'm like, no, you are not a sinner. And that is the argument some people make. Oh, people are judging someone for sinning differently. No, you shouldn't be saying that. I'm not a sinner. I'm gay. I was born gay. There's nothing sinful about it. So I tried to explain to him. I do hope that it got to him, that he understood what I was trying to say to him. The thing is, even if you are going to be visible externally like I am, it evolves gradually. Little by little, you will get to a place where you will be visible. Even if you live in societies where it is okay for you to be gay. Sometimes it's a slow process. That's why you see people, sometimes they will be married and then they come up. People will be like, oh, so you just became gay today. No, it's because of they've taken the time to work on themselves and summon the courage to come out and be visible. Because it is not easy. Homophobia is not something that is good. People don't like to be disgraced and insulted by strangers and things like this. It is not nice for each and every one of us who is queer. The first step is refusing to treat yourself as shameful in your mind. Never ever treat yourself as shameful in your mind. Don't see yourself as someone that is shameful. Never do that to yourself. Don't see yourself as someone that is a sinner. Don't see yourself as sinful. Don't see yourself as a taboo. Don't see yourself as a mistake. That is something that you need to always think about. Never see yourself as less than, because you are not. Because when people want to shame you as a queer person, they want you to see yourself less than, to see yourself as a sinner, to see yourself as shameful. Never, ever do that. Absolutely not. I want to talk about this without being shameful to anybody, without being disrespectful to anybody. But I've realized that there are some people who are leading double lives and they are not doing that because they want to. They are doing that because of society, because of where they are, because of it is not easy to be a gay man and live your life to be queer, to be LGBTQIA+ and things like this. So I can understand why certain people lead double lives and live double lives and what have you. I totally understand that. But I'm going to say this. If you are currently living two lives, I want to let you know that you are not weak. There is nothing weak about you. You are surviving. You are literally trying to survive in this cruel, cruel, cruel world that we live in. But you need to ask yourself, how long can you sustain this? How long? Because at some point, your nervous system will demand coherence. Your nervous system will demand you living your life. The thing is that you deserve relationships that don't require secrecy as entry fee. The people that have cut off my life who required me to play a certain kind of role, who required me to live a life of pretense, a life of lies, for them to be comfortable around me. I cut them off because I deserve friendships and relationships that does not require me to live in secrecy. And for that secrecy to be an entry fee for me, to be the price that I pay to be around you. And I refuse to do that. And this should be the same for you. If the price you're going to pay is being small, living a secret life for you to be able to be in their clique, don't do that to yourself. Always remember to live your life safely. Live your life wisely. But never, ever, ever you internalize the idea that your authenticity should be hidden to preserve someone's image. I want to make this clear. I'm going to say this again. Never you ever internalize the idea that your authenticity should be hidden to preserve someone else's image. Even if that person is your mother, your father. No, don't do it. Because if you do that, you are going to be hurting yourself. Okay? I have been Charles. This has been Igbo Queer and Unfiltered Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I want to let you know that you are wonderful. You are not a mistake. You are not a taboo. You are the light. You are fabulous. Thank you so much for joining the Movement for Visibility, Truth and Representation. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful time. I will see you in the next episode.